Welcome to another episode of Squirrel Snow here on KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland. And I am very happy today because, well, as you all know, my main focus on this show since March 2020 has been to bring about the knowledge of our galaxy and the Earth and how we're all interconnected and what I've been calling the protocols of galactic interaction. And this day I have a person that has had boots on the ground, so to speak, on these matters for many years and has come up with amazing material, very helpful, not only amazing material in itself, but very helpful for the times ahead. And this is Mr. Alfred Weber. How are you, Mr. Weber?
You know, I'm really happy to be here today talking with you and that you're addressing these subjects head on and explicitly. It brings me a lot of joy.
Yes. It's something that I've had. I've thought about it for a long time, but it definitely kicked in since the whole global pandemic started. It woke me up to the situation that we have at hand. But basically, what I've been doing on this show, Mr. Weber, is like I've commented before, is to bring about the knowledge of what I've been calling the protocols of galactic interaction and how would that play out in a way that we can understand and how that can be helpful for our planet in order to protect our remaining ecosystems and protect all life and enact what I call galactic law. And just give us your thoughts, start up.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing the same, and I had my first interaction with what I like to call the Regional Galactic Governance Council in February of 1973. And that's when I was had an interaction with them, and I was taken up into a spacecraft and shown the future. And this we presented that in July 17th, 2017, because there was another person who was taken up and who actually witnessed that and who witnessed me on the spacecraft. So it wasn't just my imagination, but I've written a whole book about this, and you can get it on my website, universebooks.com. But so I've been thinking about this a whole series of years, and coincidentally, this whole thing came to a kind of to a head, and I said, well, you know, I really want to take action. And there had been a feature on the White House website where you could start a petition on the White House website. So yesterday I went to whitehouse.gov with the intent of starting a petition, because they had you could start a petition there under many previous administrations. Didn't matter if it was a Republican administration or Democratic. And I searched throughout the White House website, and that ability has been taken away. There is no petition ability on the White House website that I could find yesterday. Now, it just so happens that as a good five planet Gemini, I'm a dual citizen. I have a citizenship in two countries. I'm a citizen both of the United States and of Canada. My mother is from a Canadian family, the Chisholms from Scotland. But my wife's mother was a Canadian, so I have dual citizenship. So when I found out that the White House website did not have the petition, I went up to the Canadian website, Parliament website, and they have an e-petition where you can petition the Parliament of Canada. And so I made a petition to my member of Parliament here in Vancouver, Granville, Jody Wilson-Raybould. Now, she's a very special person because she was the first Indigenous Attorney General of Canada. The first Native American who became the Attorney General of Canada. And if you want, I can, it's not too long. It's less than 250 words. Shall I read it?
Please do. I think maybe it's important for the audience to get some of this knowledge now.
Yeah. Okay. So it says, petition to Jody Wilson-Raybould, Member of Parliament for Vancouver Granville. Whereas Alfred Lamont Weber, that's me, a Canadian citizen and constituent of Josie Wilson-Raybould, is, quote, the founder of exopolitics, the science of relations of intelligent civilizations in the universe, with his 2000 book, Exopolitics, Politics, Government, and Law in the Universe. That's by Universe Books. Number two, whereas the Honorable Paul Hellyer, former Canadian Minister of Defense and Deputy Minister, Prime Minister under Prime Minister Pierre Elliott Trudeau, has written, quote, Alfred Lamont Weber's odyssey into the realm of life in the vast universe surrounding planet Earth is indeed a fascinating journey if you read it with an open mind, to turn us in the direction of reunification with the rest of creation. The author is proposing a, quote, decade of contact, an era of openness, public hearings, publicly funded research and education about extraterrestrial reality. That could be just the antidote the world needs to end its greed-driven, power-centered madness, end of quote. We're about halfway through. Mm-hmm. Then it says, whereas we support Alfred Lamont Weber as an Earth representative to the Regional Galactic Governance Council of the Pleiadians, the Alpha Centaurians, the Sirians, and others, and we support the Living Platform for a New Earth Community. We, the undersigned citizens and residents of Canada and or citizens and residents of Earth, call upon the government of Canada to, number one, create an Earth representative to the Regional Galactic Governance Council of Advanced Human Civilizations from the Pleiades, Alpha Centauris, Sirius, and others. Number two, support Alfred Lamont Weber as an Earth representative to the Regional Galactic Governance Council. And number three, support the Living Platform for a New Earth Community to the Regional Galactic Governance Council. And then you can go to a link, and you have to be a Canadian citizen or resident in order to sign it. But if you have 120 days from March 20th, today's March 21st, that's till about July 20th. And if we get 500 signatures, that's going to go to the Canadian Parliament for consideration. Now,
that is great news.
Yeah, isn't that
great news. It definitely sounds like all the pieces are being put in place for what's bound to occur.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I really am so overjoyed that you can... That you have affirmed that, and that you really affirmed this, because I've been interviewing. You know, the Regional Galactic Governance Council has showed itself many times, but one was on October 13, 2010, over New York, where the fleet decloaked itself, and they were saying that they're going to they had to decloak themselves so that the silence that the Earth governments are maintaining is overcome, because the Earth governments are just maintaining silence.
Yeah, they don't want to deal with it. It's something that they don't want to deal with it. They don't play it on the news. And that's why people are, it's very hard for people to really understand the seriousness and of this issue and how important it is for our planet, for our nation, because it is not broadcast on their news. So
exactly. So the reason that we're doing this, and we're We're asking all Canadian citizens and residents who see this, and we're putting it up on our website, exopolitics.com. We're putting it up on our news site, newsinsideout.com. We're mailing it out to all the mailing lists that we have. Is that so that it'll be out there officially, so to break the silence, you know, and so that people can start maybe, you know, with people being in the pandemic and at home and not doing much, maybe they'll start to wake up and start saying, yeah, why is there this silence? If we are one little solar system and there's this huge organized universe, we're surrounded by star systems that are completely inhabited, and we're just one little solar system, you know, and they've been knocking at our doors for eons. And I interviewed a NORAD officer in 2010, who was contacted. He was NORAD officer Stanley A. Fulham, a lifelong NORAD officer from Winnipeg, Canada. And his job when he was at NORAD was that he oversaw the jets that would be sent out whenever there was an extraterrestrial spacecraft that went over the North American airspace. Mm-hmm. And after he retired, he was contacted by the Regional Galactic Governance Council. And they began to contact him. And they said, look, we can't figure out. We're trying to break this conspiracy of silence by the governments. And we're telling you that we're going to appear over New York on October 13th, 2010, and he published a book. And he put it on the back cover of the book. They're going to appear over New York on October 13th, 2010, and he published it in June 2010. Who does that, right? And guess what?
It's a big risk.
And they appeared over New York on October 13, 2010. In fact, the article that we published has a photograph of them over New York City. And they did that because on October 14th, that was the day that the United Nations had set aside to consider, the United Nations Outer Space Conference, Outer Space Office, had considered the question of what would they do if extraterrestrials showed up, how would they deal with them? So this has been going on for a long time. So I finally said yesterday, you know, something has to give. So I went to the White House, and they've taken down the ability to do petitions. The Biden administration took it down without saying anything, silently.
It doesn't even make sense. It's been going on for years.
I know. So American citizens, see, I'm a dual citizen. American citizens can make petitions. Fortunately, the Canadian government still has it.
Yeah.
So I made this petition. So I'm asking all Canadian citizens and residents to sign this petition. We only need 500 signatures before July 20th, and then it goes to the Canadian Parliament. And then it's going to be official. It just happened that I was moved to do this. And it just is amazing that your program is about galactic protocols, because this petition is about that Earth has got to live up to its galactic protocols. And that's what the petition calls for.
Yeah, I'm very happy to hear that. And I want to remind to anybody in the audience, anybody listening that has a Canadian citizenship, to go to, can you give us a website for the petition?
Yeah. Tell them to go to exopolitics.com. Uh-huh. It is the first article there. at exopolitics.com, and the link, and to read that first article, and the link for the petition is right there in the article. You just click on that link and you can sign it. And all we need is 500 signatures.
Okay.
Over the next 120 days. And then it becomes legal and it goes to the House of Commons.
Okay. Well, this is great news. And again, go to exopolitics.com, and the first article, when you go to the website, that is the article you want to click. And once you click it, the link to the petition, the Canadian Government Petition Center, it's right there, and you can really make history and collaborate with us through this process.
Perfect, perfect.
Yeah.
That is absolutely huge. And I had no idea that you know, we were going to have such a fit. I mean, this has got to be historic. This has got to be what they call synchronicity, right?
Yeah, I've been following your work for a long time. My dad into your work since when I was little, and you know, I watch your videos, and I'm just very happy about this. And I know I can't go into details on why I know it, but I know that there are many principles that govern this galaxy in particular and our sector of the galaxy, and these principles have to do with protection of life, protection of life forms. Planet like Earth is so rich in life, human life, animal life, all kinds of life. This planet is incredible, to say the least, that there are moments in linear space-time when planets such as Earth have to be somehow invited to reintegrate into the greater whole for reasons that are very logical, reasons that have to do with, again, protection of life forms. That's the most important kind of like the summary of why it has to happen. And this is the times we're living. And I think the majority of people find it hard to even get these subjects and these matters because honestly, people are busy with their own lives. They have to work, they have to go to school, they have to do very earthbound things that, they don't have time almost to think about these things that we're talking about. But these things that we're talking about are critical for the future of our planet, right?
Exactly. You know, and one of the proposals that we put forth in our book, Exopolitics, which was published initially in the year 2000, so it was published 20 years ago, online is what we call a decade of contact, so that during this decade of contact, this subject would come out of the closet, so that you would have classes on extraterrestrials in your schools, in your elementary schools, in your high schools, in your colleges, so that it wouldn't be hidden away and it wouldn't be ridiculed. And so people in fifth grade, in kindergarten, people in high school, in junior high school, in junior year, in sophomores, people in college, people start writing their thesis on it. You would have PhDs who would start writing on it. And then that way you have the human race would start changing and become exoconscious. They would say they become conscious of being in a populated and organized cosmos and universe, and you could do it very, very easily.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a lot of people agree that, you know, that we deserve better. And that one thing that I usually talk about during my show is kind of a reminder to people that, you know, even if your life, if your income is great and you have a very nice house and you live in a beautiful part of the world and a very nice car and whatnot, and the world can provide, this world as we have it right now, can provide a lot of things for us. A very rich world, very rich in so many different ways. There's abundance of everything. But it's important to kind of just be aware that our unorganized human activity is progressively destroying all our global ecosystems. And this is a no-no. This is a no-no morally, but this is a no-no when it comes to our galaxy. and how law and order is actually exercised. And I do think that people are going to become more prepared this year to really deal with these matters from a wider perspective. And I want to ask your opinion about, I don't know if you've heard about an Israeli officer from the Israeli space program. He went out and talked about the Galactic Federation and whatnot. And the thing is that I'll just say this, is that the Galactic Federation that I talk about is it's an association that is heavenly and celestial, to come up with terms. I don't know exactly what group this man was talking about. However, I did like the fact that he brought this out into the mainstream, at least for a couple of weeks. It was everywhere. Then, you know, it was buried because it wasn't fun anymore or whatever. But what do you think about that?
Well, boy, there's a lot to talk about, because right before we went there, you talked about the environment, how important Earth's environment are. And what I'd like to do, if that's okay, since we're on the topic of the Galactic Federation, because there are many, let's say that we're in a dimensional ecology and there are many federations that are overseeing us and it's all good. The Regional Galactic Governance Council, when they decloaked themselves over New York on October 13, 2010, they did so initially because their main concern was to heal the environment of the Earth, the ecology, before it collapsed and before humanity destroyed the planet, because the environment of the Earth is on the edge of collapse, so that the environment is what's at the forefront of the concern of the Galactic Federation, and they're trying to get us to wake up about the environment. And that is what is their concern about intervening. And that was their concern in 2010. And that is their concern now. That is that they want to wake up humanity enough so that they can work with humanity, so humanity wakes up enough to understand that they're on a planet that can collapse and they have to heal it. Because we're in a solar system that has had a very bad track record with regard to planets. If you go, we had a very large Earth-like planet called Tiamat, which is now the asteroid belt, because 700,000 years ago, Tiamat was like Earth. It was very, very large, and there was a nuclear war there, and the planet was shattered, and it is now the asteroid belt, so that where Tiamat was is now the asteroid belt, and 2 billion souls from Tiamat had to be transported by the Galactic Federation to Earth. And of the 7 billion people here, 2 billion of the souls are from Tiamat, and they're the ones that are reincarnating now. So there's a very burdensome, this is a very difficult solar system of history.
Yeah, and I have to add something that I always add, is that it was tragic for human life, and it is tragic for the situation of Earth is tragic for human life, but it's definitely tragic for animal life. And this is the part that it's a little difficult for most people, because Western culture, the way it's set up, it doesn't really understand or accept the intrinsic spiritual value of the animal beings. No, I call them animal beings, kind of a reminder that they are beings like us. What I'm trying to say is that when something like that happens, it's human life and it's also animal life. And this, in terms of the value of consciousness, of life in the universe, is a dramatic thing. The primary concern, as you said, of our Galactic Federation is to protect ecosystems, because the value of the animal being, the value of their happiness and their safety, is what empowers human life in the higher dimension. And this is the concept that is one of the main concepts that separates Earth people from galactic people. For the most part, is that galactic people understand that their purpose, their primary purpose, is to serve, protect, and learn from the animal being. And this takes me back to ancient Native American tradition of having this relationship with the animal. And I just wanted to add that part. So people don't forget out there, don't forget that we are important, but remember that the animals, no matter who they are, how big or small they are, the turtles, the whales, everywhere, every sin, they are as valuable as we are, and they deserve a chance to manifest their consciousness just like we do.
You know, I'm so glad that you said that, because if you go to exopolitics.com and you read the article about the petition that we did, and when we talk there about the living platform for a new earth, we set out the living platform there, and it's all out in the article. And one of the main features is that animals are given, animals are treated like sentient beings with rights. In other words, that's in the new earth. In other words, this platform is a new platform for Earth. In other words, for Earth to be allowed to join into the Galactic Federation, there has to be a transformation of consciousness, but for all consciousness. And so for animals, they can't be like slaughtered and being treated like, you know, without any rights. They're just lined up like in concentration camps and slaughtered to be eaten. And so, and now they have food replicators. So you can create any kind of food that's not out of animals, because it's just created through a high technology that are called food replicators. So you don't have to be killing chickens or killing beef or killing, you don't kill animals to eat them. It's food replicators, the higher technology, you see? So we're moving out of this lower density, what we call duality consciousness of I win, you lose, or, you know, I kill you in order to stay alive. We're moving out of that. So that's all part of the living platform for a new earth community. And you can see that at exopolitics.com. And that's all embedded in this petition to the Canadian Parliament, that we all that we need is 500 signatures over 120 days, you know, and then we make it official and we start moving out into the world.
Again, this is great news. I'm so happy to hear this. I think the synchronicity that you just got this done and that now we're talking, and I've been a fan of your work for so long, and I've been invested so much in maintaining a frequency of consciousness that allows galactic interaction, and a lot of people do that. And I feel that you know, I'm just happy about this. I'm happy. Yeah, and I wanna add and see your reactions, because I think a lot of people might wonder, oh, how do the extraterrestrials help us raise our consciousness? How come they're healing the planet? What do they do? And well, there are many ways to explain this. I'm gonna just give my input and hear your input on it. But basically, human beings from the higher dimensions, the people that we're dealing with from the higher dimensions, our family that manage this sector of the galaxy and the galaxy as a whole, these are people like us who were basically born and exist on planets and spheres that experience no problems. Therefore, they have been able to develop their consciousness to a point that they can simply focus their awareness on people, on a planet, their awareness, their focus of love and light and beauty and all these concepts of justice and purity. And they transmit these things to people and to the planet, like a radio would broadcast the same thing. And that's how these beings, these people, these galactic people are helping us, you know, behind the scenes, is by simply broadcasting this frequencies of sound, thought, consciousness, color, and that affects us directly in a positive way. What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly right. When we first started going into the exopolitical area and developing a typology of extraterrestrials, we said, well, look, the way to develop a typology of extraterrestrials is to listen to what the extraterrestrials say. And what the extraterrestrials say is they say, oh, I'm an Arcturian from the sixth density. You know, I'm a Pleiadian from the sixth density or the seventh density. They talk about the density or the frequency of being in which they exist. And that's where they talk from. So that if you go into the exopolitical literature, which you can access at our book website, universebooks.com, we have introductory books like Exopolitics, and then that introduces you to what we call the omniverse. Like you have the universe, the multiverse, and then the omniverse. And what the omniverse is that the omniverse equation is omniverse equals multiverse, and it's a collection of all the universe plus the spiritual dimensions. In other words, the spiritual dimensions include the afterlife and the intelligent civilization of souls. It's the whole. We're inside an ecology of dimensions. In other words, there's not much difference between the afterlife and now. In fact, our souls, we're inside of our soul. Our souls are in, these are the suits that our souls use to navigate inside, say, this third density universe, Earth that we're in now. But our soul is really based inside the afterlife right now. This is like navigating inside, you know, certain video games almost. It's weird. You can actually get on certain video chats and you can have like a Zoom conversation with somebody in the afterlife that actually exists now. So it's just a matter of frequencies. It's known that you can actually lead more than one life. You can lead one, two, or three lives. In other words, you can be leading your life here on Earth, and then you can lead a life as an advanced avian planet, as an advanced bird, and another one as an advanced fish on a water planet. And you're leading them, quote, at the same time. Your soul is. In other words, this is a very far out reality that we're in.
Yeah, it is. It is. it's fascinating. The universe is wonderful. And that's another reminder for people that although sometimes I use a tone that is a little, you know, like, oh, we're destroying the ecosystem. It's a real tragedy. We have to at least be aware of it. The fact is that, hey, the universe is a beautiful, amazing place. And there is love. There is intent to our existence. There is purpose. And we're never alone. We're not alone. And you're talking about your area of expertise. But I want to remind people that you have a book that it's a fascinating book. And I will finish reading it. And it's The Emergence of the Omniverse, right? And people can find it on Amazon.
Yeah.
If they want the hard copy, I really suggest people, look, if you really want to get into this subject that is fun, entertaining, but also important for our time, just go to Amazon and buy the book Emergence of the Omniverse by Mr. Alfred Weber. And you're talking about that. Can you give our audience a little bit more on what you cover on this book?
Yeah. You know, it's because just to give you an example of a time, the universe that we're in, let's say that we're in, the universe is defined as an organic singularity of creation of time, energy, space, and matter. And in this period of history, The universe was discovered around 3200 BC by the Sumerian astronomers. That's the universes. And then around 1895, the American scientist William James coined the word multiverse because they discovered that there's more than one universe. There's multiple universes. And in fact, there are two scientists at Stanford who recently hypothesized that the number of universes is humongous. It's 10 to the 7th to the 7th. And if you wrote that number, it's that number so large that we don't have a name for it. But if you wrote that number out, it would be more than 260 million miles long. That's how many universes there are in the multiverse. And we're just in one universe out of all those universes. That's how big we're inside of this thing. Now, the omniverse, the definition of the omniverse is, you know, like equals MC squared. Omniverse equals the multiverse, and it's the collection of all the universes, but plus the spiritual dimensions, which is the afterlife, plus the intelligent civilization of souls, plus spiritual beings, plus source, or what they call God. In other words, because the spiritual dimensions, which is the intelligent civilization of souls plus spiritual beings plus source acting together, they act as God and they create and maintain all of the universes as machines for soul development. In other words, they said, hey, in order to develop our souls, let's create all the universes so we can incarnate into them and lead lives and have moral lessons. And that's how we're going to develop our souls, by creating this theater out there that we can incarnate into. That's what the universes are.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. And that reminds me of something that actually I was told many years ago. I guess I was little, and it was, long story short, I asked, what is the purpose of the universe? What is the purpose of life, right? Why are we here? And then the answer was, well, forgetting everything, forgetting who you are and forgetting everything you've learned and start from scratch. That is a great adventure in the universe. And it reminds me of what you just said, because it is a great adventure when you come from realities that we can't describe, when that is your origin, and you decide to go into this adventure, this massive adventure of going through a planet like Earth, you know, with so much disorder and just disorder everywhere, and yet live there and try to feel joy and experience. That is an amazing, amazing adventure. And just reminded me of what you just said.
Wild. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that is the science of the omniverse and the emergence of the omniverse, and the omniverse is emerging now. So we went from discovering the universe as a species 3500 BC to discovering the multiverse in 1895, and now the omniverse is emerging. And so it's a perfect time for us to rejoin galactic society, because we have to re-enter the omniverse. We have to re-enter multidimensional society and the awareness that we're inside this multidimensionality. We have to move up from 3D to 5D. That's what it means. In other words, planetary ascension is inside of us. That's what it means.
I love everything you're saying. And I think I'm just going to remind people that if you want to really be part of this, go to Amazon and get the book Emergence of the Omniverse by Mr. Alfred Weber. Such an honor to have you here on Squirrel Snow talking with me and on KBOO 90.7 FM. And I just want to touch on again, to see your ongoing opinion about this, because it's important for me particularly to talk about this subject. It's the value of the animal beings in the ecosystem. My understanding, what I accept as truth from what I remember, what I've been taught, is that in the higher dimensions where we all originate from, the ecosystems, what people call here the environment, and the animal beings, they provide the human form, us, with a primary sense of purpose. That is a concept that is completely foreign on this planet. But I want to hear your opinion again, because I know that we're on the same page when it comes to animal rights and when it comes to environmental rights. I don't like calling the environment, because I know it's part of us. It's the ecosystems and the animal beings. What do you think people are doing right now? Because I want to, before I hear from you, I want to say that for the past 20 years, I can feel and I can tell that our galactic family, especially our galactic allies that have been entrusted with this process of galactic interaction with Earth, they have been broadcasting frequencies that allow people to rekindle that which is in themselves, inside themselves, to reconnect to the greater whole. And they do little things. They create nonprofits. There are tons of heroes in America and Canada and in the world who are opening nonprofits, who are doing everything they can every day. They wake up really early and they try to do whatever they can to protect animals, protect ecosystems, to protect people that are experiencing extreme poverty, to do these things that are incredibly morally correct. And these people are all over the world right now as we speak, and they have these nonprofits, they have these endeavors, and they are being influenced by our galactic family and what they're broadcasting to our planet. So I just want to hear your thoughts on this, on the actions of these heroes that are doing all these things, such as yourself, that are doing all these things every day to bring about a better reality from many different perspectives, but also, again, on the value of the animal beings and how their safety, their happiness is critical to our safety and our happiness.
There's a lot there. First of all, in terms of the signals and the broadcasts, we are able now to show and we understand that these signals are coming into the portal, the interdimensional portal and core at the interdimensional portal to our universe, at the interdimensional portal to our galaxy that the Mayans call Unabku, and at the interdimensional core to our solar system, which is our sun. And that is where these signals of unity consciousness are coming into. You can call it the mind of God, but it's source that is bringing in these signals. And the animals can actually hear that much better than humanity can. The birds are totally in tune with the galactic center. The animals are in tune with the galactic center. It's the humans that are, especially on this planet, because the history of Earth is that Earth suffered what we call a default, where the planetary leaders defaulted, went into a rebellion against Source, and we're just coming out of that now. And that is where the controllers, even at the spiritual level, attempted to set up themselves at Source. And that's why we've had a planet of war, disease, crime, and poverty. And that's why we've had the extreme exploitation of animals and the extreme exploitation of children on this planet. And we're just now coming out of that historically. and now is that point with the, and that's why it's extreme silence. Silence to the galaxy, which is trying to bring us back up to that elevation of being attentive to universal law and the universal signal, and that's what's happening. So that's what we are doing now with this petition to make it official, with this living platform, which is the galactic platform that the animals have, are sentient and have sovereign rights, as do humans. And so that would be official. It would be a declaration of rights for animals. So you can't murder an animal, you know, anymore. And so then you could bring in technologies for food replicators, et cetera.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't know where the word animal comes from, the word animal. And this is fascinating to me because it's such a direct affirmation on my belief. And it is that the word animal comes from the Latin word anima, which apparently it literally means soul, spirit. So animals, I think a lot of people think, oh, animals are so cute, they're so pure. But it's beyond that. Animals are vessels of spirit. So that's why it's important to at least remember that. And I also want to add that it's not just the horrific factory farming industry that we don't really have to talk about, but it's also all the different animals in the wild who are just not unsafe anymore. You know, like turtles, all the beaches are, you know, being crowded by condominiums and hotels and all this stuff. And animals are basically running out of their space. They're not experiencing the freedom they're supposed to experience.
No, but it's worse. The U.S. Navy is at war with the cetaceans, and they're attempting to kill them through frequencies.
Yeah, and I don't know if they do it on purpose. I'm sure some people do, but I think it's because this disconnection from our ecosystem, this disconnection from, for lack of a better term, spiritual awareness, is that people just do whatever they need to do, and they don't care about all these beings that we share the planet with. So that's one of the things I just wanted to remind people. Again, you know me, everybody at KBU knows that it is very important to be aware that the animal beings are as important as we are, and that whatever we do on this planet is going to be to protect all life forms, human life and animal life. And with that being said, there is a concept that I love to entertain because I know it's part of this whole deal, and it's galactic law. It's a law that in our case specific to Earth, and it has to do, again, protection of ecosystems, animal beings, justice. What can you tell us about galactic law?
Well, that's a very interesting subject. I once was approached by Oxford University Press, which is a division of Oxford University, to write a book called Extraterrestrials and the Law. And it was out of that book proposal that the whole Omniverse series of books was developed. And what I discovered from there is that galactic law and universe law is density or dimension based. In other words, each dimension or each density, is basically its own jurisdiction and has its own law. And such that the fifth density and the sixth density beings are subject to their own law. We are third density beings, and we're subject to our own law. And it's where you have a conflict of law. Let's say if you have beings that are coming here, and you know you have the law of non-interference. That is the law of non-interference, which is one of the basic universal laws, is basically constructed, and it's that is a respecting of the universal construct that universal laws are density based or dimension based. And that is the general structure of law in the universe, which is a dimensional ecology. That is what I learned most out of preparing the book proposal for Oxford University, which then grew into the books that went on to essentially discover or document the omniverse and became the books of emergence of the omniverse, which is mapping the omniverse.
Yeah, and I want to hear from you a little bit of your idea of living platform for a new Earth community. I know that this is part of your work where you're focusing on right now. And this is definitely kind of like the most important thing in terms of what you do.
Yeah,
and
it's, yeah.
I just want to remind the audience is that the work that you do is very specific, and you have created very, very useful platforms that we will actually use when the time comes. So I'm very happy about this.
Yeah. First of all, people can go to the website omniverse.cc, omniverse.cc, to access the Living Platform for a New Earth Community. And these are the areas or the planks that the platform addresses. I'll just go through it very, very briefly, and then people can go and get into it more in depth. Number one, truth and disclosure, a full public disclosure of the presence of intelligent civilizations in Earth's environment. New energy, teleportation, and time travel, a full public disclosure of secret new energy, zero-point free anti-gravity new energy sources. Implementation of teleportation as a global, national, regional, and local transportation system, because planetary teleportation is like a prerequisite for advanced planet status. We are now at a primitive planet because we're using roads and vehicles that you have to strap 2,000 pounds of steel around your waist to go and pick up milk at the grocery store. It's grossly polluting. Recognition of animals as sentient beings with rights. Worldwide grant of personhood rights to animals with concomitant rights against murder, slaughter, torture, and cruel and inhumane treatment. Special intelligent civilization status for cetaceans, including whales and dolphins. Development of healthy, safe, tasty protein meat substitutes for humanity's consumption and nutrition. Then secure online direct democracy at the local, regional, national, and global level. Secure virtual technology now permits the implementation of Swiss Canton democracy worldwide. In the Swiss model, the Swiss village, they go to the village square and they vote on all the laws. You don't need the intermediary of a city council, a legislature, a Congress, where vested interests can take it over. The people vote directly on all the laws at the national level, the international level, the state level, or the local level. Okay, reinvention of money as a human right and a public utility like air, water, or electricity available for creative investment at public money utilities. In other words, money is just like air, water, or electricity. It's something that keeps everything going. It's just like electricity. It's like a form of energy. Social guarantees in the form of annual income, healthcare at elementary, secondary, and post-secondary education for every person on the planet for life. World debt forgiveness, disenfranchisement of the state power of monarchies and religions worldwide. The UK monarchy and the Vatican are examples of abuses that occurred when two institutions based on non-democratic principles, the divine right of kings and popes, are given established state rights in the modern democratic world. Criminalization of the war industry, a criminalization of a global ban on war, genocide, and depopulation in all its forms, criminal prosecution and conviction of the war crimes racketeering organization. Now, you may ask, how is this going to manifest? And the basic equation of a positive future suggests that this will manifest out of the synergy of the positive timeline and humanity's awakening to unity consciousness. In other words, it's all part of consciousness and the positive future, because we're on a positive timeline.
Great. Yeah, I want to thank you in the name of all the people of Earth. I'm sure a lot of people have thanked you already, but for the work that you've done. And it's very important because, well, I just want to reassure people that extraterrestrials or star people, they're nothing like what they see in movies there are some approximations and a couple of the shows, but it's nothing like that. They are our family. We're going to be confronted with the very clear fact that the Earth is part of a massive government already. We're used to, you know, having America, the biggest country in the world, that there's nothing else out there. But the fact is that, no, the Earth is a very small planet, and we're part of a massive, massive super government. And the people that we're dealing with, the star people that we're dealing with, they really just want what's best. Those are the people that I'm talking about. Those are the only people I focus on. And they are the majority of the beings, of the human beings throughout the cosmos. And I just want to reassure people, because I think a lot of people maybe get a little scared because of the media, because of what they've been broadcasting in the media about people from other planets. Like, they all look with, you know how they look. They're people
stereotyping.
Like
stereotyping.
And we don't want to be racist. You know, racism is bad in every way. Racism is bad on Earth. It's a terrible thing. But it's also bad if you're going to be racist with other people throughout the galaxy. I'm really happy about the prospects, and I want to hear from you. I know you are excited. I know what this new petition. It's big news, and we're going to keep this energy going. And now I want you to share with us any particular kind of loving feeling that you have about this process.
About what? Sorry?
About this process of what I call the Protocols of Galactic Interaction, which means the enactment of law on Earth.
Yeah, well, look, this has been my whole life. I can remember being a very young child, being like 10 years old, in the dining room of my grandmother in Havana, Cuba. And they were playing a new song, a cha-cha-cha. Los marcianos llegaron ya y llegaron bailando cha-cha-cha, which means the Martians have landed, and they landed dancing cha-cha. And I was dancing all over the place.
Oh, so that's an excellent song.
I have been doing this my entire life. So for me, my whole life is about reuniting Earth with the rest of humanity. I mean, it's like humanity is out there. It's not just on this planet. This planet has been artificially separated through some historical events that took place here through no fault of the people here, and we're about reuniting them, and I feel so joyful about being able to be part of that. And I have enjoyed this broadcast so much that I would like to take a copy of it and embed it over the article about the petition and put that at exopolitics.com, if that's okay.
Oh, of course it's okay. I mean, I'm honored. I am also very excited about this. I know there are tons of people out there who know this is true, who can feel this connection, who can remember things from other, but they feel a little awkward in trying to share, even with their closest friends. What would be a good advice that you would give to these wonderful people who have knowledge because they remember from previous incarnations, they remember other planets? What would you tell them to reassure them that it's okay and that there are ways to share who you are?
That's a very good question. Because of the history, they made the subject of extraterrestrials verboten and part of ridicule. And so I would, I would just stand their ground and do what comes to them. You know, like for me, it just said, well, I'm going to go to the White House website and do a petition. Well, I couldn't do it because it wasn't there. So I went to the Canadian and I did a petition to do practical things. You know, like if you're Canadian, go up and sign the petition. Maybe you can do a petition at your state, at the lowest state. Maybe it's the state of Oregon at the state legislature has a petition. So do a petition to the state legislature, or maybe the city council of Portland has a petition process. You know, I mean, for me, doing practical things is, I think, the way to ground this. That's what I'm thinking right now.
Okay, so the advice is go do practical things. You're going to feel better because we have to protect this planet. And that's another reminder for people. No matter how small planet Earth is, no matter how primitive our society can be, no matter how disorganized things are, we have this 1-2% of the population managing the majority of resources. This planet is valuable, and we deserve to be part of a greater whole again, so we can really see the best that we can give. And it takes me back also to the Native American understanding, which has been the understanding of people for ages, no matter where they were in, is that this understanding, specifically clear for Native American nations, of our relationship with the cosmos, of our relationship with our family from outside planet Earth. That is a good reminder for me and for a lot of people that will be listening to this. It's that, well, we've never been alone. We're part of a system. We're part of a system, and it's logical to think that we're not going to simply watch planet Earth continue to be destroyed like this. Slowly, very slowly. It's like there's a term in Japanese. I'm not sure. I think it sounds a little weird. It's death by a thousand little
cuts.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically, that's what has been happening on Earth. You know, like, we can't really see it. You know, you can travel to any city in Florida, for example. You can go to Florida and enjoy your time, and you're not seeing exactly what's happening, but it is happening. And again, we have to protect ourselves. We have to protect the Earth, and we can rely on our galactic mechanisms. And it's going to be fun too, right? Isn't it going to be fun?
Oh yeah, because we're going to be accessing our full galactic humanity, because we are galactic beings, you know.
Okay, so any other thoughts that you would like to share with the audience? Things that you think people should know about these protocols of galactic interaction? We've already covered a lot, but maybe I'm missing something.
Well, we have covered a great deal. There's a lot that I could go into, but it would take us down a lot of technical issues. I think that we are now at a point where those of us who are galactically aware should start taking steps through legal means, like petitions, like going to legislatures to get processes going, to begin to call the extraterrestrials in and to make them the part of the equation. And that's what I think we should do. And that's what I think that is being started here. That's what you do. That's what I do. That's what many people that I know do. And I think that is what the galaxy is waiting for. When the extraterrestrials showed themselves over New York on October 13, 2010, it was the day before the UN was meeting what would they do when they welcome ETs? The ETs wanted to be welcomed because they said they had to come in to help clean up the environment of Earth in coordination with humans. And so I think it's about awareness.
Awareness. And again, we go back to being practical. Being practical is the best way right now to put out your knowledge and to help this process. I want to read a little bit of, it's very short. It's something that I have on my radio show's front page. And it's about the Galactic Federation, Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. It's many names for one massive, heavenly, celestial, incomprehensible, family-oriented institution that oversees the protection of this galaxy, a galactic union. And all these seemingly outlandish subjects are entirely rooted in the ancient understanding by many Native American nations of the existence of star people or star families and how they manage all the realms beyond Earth, i.e. our galaxy. Planet Earth is part of a magnificent galactic union that protects all life forms, first by protecting free will, and then by assisting when required. We're a big family with the rest of the galaxy. We're not alone. We're part of a cosmic system. There is intention and intrinsic love to our existence. Apart from the fascinating cosmic integration of planet Earth with our galactic family, as well as the dynamics of enforcing galactic law and how what that will mean for the future development of our planet, we are here because we have to do the right thing. We are here because we have to do the right thing.
Just yes.
To summarize it very simply, very simply.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And we are the ones we've been waiting for, and we signed up for this.
Yeah.
And we are the advanced paratroopers. That's the way that I see it.
Yeah, yeah. Before we conclude this awesome, awesome interview, I just want to remind people that a lot of bad things have happened on Earth, a lot of injustice. I think, honestly, at this point, because of the connections I've been getting with the planet and everything, is that a lot of these people, they don't even know what they're doing. They literally, they don't know what they're doing. They think they're on automatic. They're on medications. The food they eat are terrible. They don't really know what they're doing. And therefore, they can't really be blamed for their actions. But there are tons of people that they actually take actions that are very negative to people, to ecosystems, to animal beings. And I want to remind people, my take on this, it's my very personal take, is that at this point, it's not important anymore to focus on all those bad guys and bad companies and all that stuff because it's not necessary. If you want to do the research and become a researcher on it, then great. My take is that at this point, we have to just focus on the awareness that our planet is part of a massive, massive mechanism already, and that this government is against celestial. And if you believe me on that, then please get on this boat and we're going to keep moving forward.
Yes, yes, good. No, we are the Regional Galactic Governance Council, as they enunciated and told the NORAD officer in 2010, has been in oversight of Earth for over a million years. And they basically oversight Earth. Their membership is the Pleiadians, the Alpha Centaurians, the Sirians, and various other star systems.
Arcturians.
Arcturians. My point is that we don't have Earth representation there. So let's now create an Earth representation there. Let's create the platform that we want Earth to be, which we have. You can go to omniverse.cc, and it's a working platform for including Earth in there. So we begin to conform to galactic protocols and standards, and let's start rejoining the galaxy. We're now in a new chapter, and the new chapter has begun. Let's start writing it.
Yes, yes. And we've been talking with Mr. Alfred Weber. Please go to Amazon and get his book, Emergence of the Omniverse. Emergence of the Omniverse. I really highly recommend you get the actual version on Amazon. Please go to universebooks.com if you want to get more information on this. And definitely, let's go and support this living platform for a new Earth community. Living platform for a new Earth community. Just go to www.omniverse.cc. Again, omniverse.cc. And any information about this, you will find on exopolitics.com. Very important, if you're a Canadian citizen, go to exopolitics.com, first article, first link, and just go and sign that petition. It's a very important part of this process. And just very happy to have you on the show. I feel totally honored. So thank you, Mr.
Great.
Weber.
Yeah, thank you very much. I feel so wonderful that the universe brought our two streams together in this synchronicity. It's tremendous.
Yes. Thank you. It was a pleasure speaking to you. And let's get on with this. Planet Earth, back with the galaxy and establish an order, real law and order here on this planet, so we can protect ecosystems, protect people, and get rid of all this disorder, right?
Yes. Exactly.